Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for giving me a glimpse into who you are. And as I look into this earth and the people around me, or even myself, there are always something more to see and understand. It is more than I expect. And yes, even when I look at myself, I think, I know me. And then a new situation arises, and I respond both with what I expected and with something new. So I'm a little bit complicated, and so are you and everyone else. Probably everyone else is a little bit complicated. Oh, and Lord, you made each and every one of us, yes, completely. And thank you, Lord, for forming me in my mother's womb and for guiding me through life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful, wonderful, amazing life that God has given each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Sometime I visit my neighbors and they ask me what I talked about on the broadcast, and I tell them, and one neighbor says, well, why don't you talk about what you've been through? And I say, well, I do a little bit, and he thinks I should talk a little more, but one day I will, or it comes up a little bit at a time. Maybe today I'll get a little bit in towards the end of the broadcast. To me, it's just that what is in the Bible and what goes on in the world has more interest and gets more of my attention. So that seems to be why I speak about all the things going on around us. I think of what goes on in our country. Oh, and all over. Look at Kansas. There is a great loss of winter wheat crop, and the farmers are leaving the wheat in the field to die because there is a drought. And I think about the 10,000 cows that died in the fire in Texas, you know, a month and a half ago. And I think about the 200,000 cows that the European Union wants to kill so that they can reduce global warming, you know, caused by cow flatulence. Well, all these things are matters at hand today. And how does that influence us? How do the floods in Pakistan affect us? Because it has devastated their rice crop. And that rice crop in Pakistan represents 8% of the world's rice. It makes a difference. Everything makes a difference. Even the Ukrainian-Russian war, that is reducing the world's supply of wheat. You see, one third of the world's supply of wheat comes from that Russian-Ukrainian region. And we get to just grasp how it is going to affect our food supply and the world's food supply. How will it affect each one of us or our city, state, country? It's going to make a difference. And our decisions will make a difference also. What should we do? And how should we prepare for our own future? How should we prepare for the people around us? The ones we love. You can call them family, but there are people who are going to be affected by the shortage of food. And we know that it's coming because it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all talk about famine in the world. And what are we doing to get ready for this lack of food in the world? Are we ready for it? Are we ready to have our own supply of food? Or are we going to rely on a system that brings food into our grocery stores for us to get every other day? Or whatever it is, every week. Maybe it's every day. We are relying on a system that we have nothing really to do with on a personal level. If we were farmers and we farmed our own grain, then that would be relying on our own self to feed us. But that does not go on today, hardly, not hardly. And there are many good, loving, and kind people all around us who are thinking about how to provide food for people who need it. They have a love for other people, and sometimes we do too. You and me, we still have love towards others. Whether it's people in our family church, our small children, our neighborhood, our city, our state, our country, we have compassion for people. But if we don't have anything to share with them, we don't have anything to share with them. So let us have a little bit of extra so that we can share. Now that's the thing about our money donations. We think about how we can help people with our money. And it is a good way, but it is not the only way. We think of our taxes as helping people, and they do. But does that fulfill our responsibility? Does our money that we donate to the church we attend, does that fulfill our responsibility to give, to help others, as the pastor or the elders make a decision on how to put our donations to work within the community of God or our local community? I'm not sure about that. That's a matter of each one of us to have a responsibility for as we pray and feel this calling upon our spirit tugging. We have a way that we can help others. That's love. And if we only rely on our pastor, then make plenty of gifts for him and the church to do something with. Donations are important. The church is important. The missions are important. Oh, I have spoken about that before, how people around the world are spreading the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for having us help the people who are spreading the word of God. And don't forget, we have people in our very cities in this country, and they are preaching the word of God. Praise God, and let us remember to support them in the best way that we know how. I'm not telling you what it is, because we each have a different way of supporting people, and I hope that you do. We want a lasting spiritual result to come about from what we give. And it's an individual choice, but I hope that you do choose and make active donations to something. And how much? Well, that is a matter of each of our consciences to determine. For instance, we all have somebody who we look to for help, for understanding. It can be a friend. It can be a spouse. It can be a pastor. And there is guidance to help us to understand how are we going to give. Well, the pastors make good decisions, but they are guided also by a board of directors, just like we are guided by people around us. So listen to that guidance. Pray for that guidance. Pray for that discernment. And then remember to actually give something. Now, we have seen how we are all accountable in some way or another. We are accountable for our time and our money and our resources. And let us show godly love towards one another as we give. And that's a matter for each one of us to determine. Now, I know that there's many ways that we can have a way of preparing for what we understand is coming. How do we prepare? Yeah, I remember for me, one of the things that I did over and over again was I bought toothbrushes and medical tape. Oh, and food bars. That was something I did. Now, would it have been better if I would have had some help to determine what would make good choices in what I bought to prepare for the just in case? Yeah, and so I got to find out later on that I bought too many toothbrushes, too much dental floss, too much medical tape, and food bars. But at the time, it was what one man, me, determined to do, and I did do something. But if I had had some guidance, if I had had a few people who would tell me, John, you're getting too many toothbrushes and too much medical tape, that would have been good for me. And that's the benefit of having a number of people to help and guide you, or help and guide your pastor, or somebody else that we give to. So just consider all that as you think about who and how to give whatever you're giving, your time, your money, your attention, whatever it is, your prayers. The prayers are so important. Well, I think of all the things in life that have gone on, and yes, there has been giving, yes, there has been receiving, and yes, there's been much, much good, and a few painful experiences too. And how do we prevent the pain from happening again? Well, we prepare one way or another. Everyone does it in a little different way. But we do prepare so that we can get through a hard time. And the guidance and direction from another person is good. Whether it's your spouse or your board of directors or somebody or other, just have an ear to what maybe God is saying. Now, he's told you in his word. He's told me about preparing. And I think that through prayer, we can understand it just a little bit different. But the idea is that we do something. It can be very different, one from another, but let's try to get along and see what other people are doing so that we can work as a community. Speaking of a community, there are many parts to a community. obviously there is the leader, and the leader is very important. For instance, if you had the leader of your community, what would he say, or they say, could be a group, about the resources that you are accumulating? How would they use them? How would you use them? Is it food and supplies, or is it something else? Consider another point of view, and remember that a leader is somebody who you acknowledge. And that's a very personal choice, because a leader will determine the future decisions that you would make. And they will guide you. They might they need information, and they might need to know what food you have. So is your leader somebody who would discuss your preparations with? Would you talk to them? Would you let them know? Do you have that kind of trust in your leader, in your pastor, in the political politician that is taking so much of your resources right now? Do you trust them to send you on a rescue mission, or a missionary position? It's something which let's talk about that. You talk about that with somebody and have that relation develop, whether it's with your spouse or your church body, because this is something we are responsible for, the resources that we have and that we give. Do you want your government to tell you what to do? How much trust do you have in them when they tell you, we need more money, we need it, we have to send more bombs and equipment to somebody, we need to Oh boy, I don't think I'll get on this one, because there's too many things that our government does that I don't agree with. And you might not like the way they spend their money either. So that is the advantage of being involved with either your government or your board of directors on your church or in your family. It's a matter of responsibility. You are responsible for the resources that you delegate and give to people, whether it's your time, your work, your money, whatever it is. So you keep thinking about things. We have to determine also, is the person worthy? Now, I just started on that line of thinking, for is the government worthy to decide how you are going to distribute your assets? You know, there's a lot of questions about that, and we have lessons in history to tell us that there are people who did not do well. And that just brings to mind a story from World War II in Germany, where the Gestapo was looking for Jews, actively searching out Jews to take and put them into a concentration camp. So people, let's just call them decent people or Christian people, they were hiding the Jews so the Gestapo would not find them. And that could happen again, and we could have a group. Now, maybe there's a little bit to think about. Would you let somebody leave your group of safety that you have in a remote location where they have food and warmth and they are getting to live a very sparse life, but they are living, and they're not going into an internment camp, concentration camp? So would you let a person like that leave your group? What? This is something that may someday be necessary to consider. How do you determine who comes into your group for protection and who leaves the group. Now, in those days, World War II Germany with the Gestapo, if the Gestapo found that somebody had left a group, well, that whole group was then at risk. Often, the whole group was sent to a prison camp, a concentration camp, and everything there, call it food, supplies, or whatever, was confiscated. It was a really tough situation to be in. But the point here is, who do we allow into our group? How committed are they? And how does a person leave the group? Is it worth the agreement of the elders of the group or the head of the family? It's not that I have an answer. It's just that I ask this question. And do not be surprised if there are betrayals, because that is so human. When somebody says, oh, I don't want this to happen to me or my family. So, yes, authority, I will tell you what you want to know. That happened all throughout World War II, and in those hidden lands, hidden groups, yes. The point I'm trying to make is, if that is coming to our neighborhood, let's just give it a little thought about how we're going to handle it. Because betrayal is very unfortunate, but it is a fact of life. How do we protect against surprises? Well, we plan for it. We expect things to go wrong. And what do we do when they do go wrong? Well, we all need help in many ways. And I just talked about the World War II situation in Germany with the Gestapo hunting Jews. Anything like that can happen again. I mean, look at the hunt that there was for people. It was casual, but there were people for a hunt for people who did not wear their masks or even who did not get a vaccination. This can happen again with the right situation. Will it? I sure don't know, but I would not be surprised if it did. We all need help to get through some kind of a time, so let us form our relation right now with our family, yes, our Christian family, yes, our friends. I mean, what do you do when you are disabled? You need help. What do you do when you have an injury? You need help. Now, when you get a little older and you can't see well enough to thread a needle, you need some help. What do you do when you're not steady enough on your feet to climb a ladder? You get help. You ask somebody to steady the ladder or to climb it for you. This is a matter of planning for what is coming, because we all know, every one of us hopes to get old, and as we get old, we diminish in our capacity. So make a plan. Have an examination of what you will do, of what the group you are a part of will do. How will you share in decision-making? It's a matter of it's easier to decide in advance when you anticipate what's going on. Troubles can come in any form, in any way. When you look at it, what just today, there are people who want to steal what you have. They want to rob your home. That's the human element. But there are natural disasters that happen. Oh, was the campfire a natural disaster? Or was it intentional? We don't know, but the number of fires around make us curious. Now, it could be natural. I think of the earth movements as generating electricity. I think there's some amazing things that we do not have any idea that our earth does. And maybe things happen that we can't even guess about. But we know that because difficulty comes our way, we can do something to get through a time of difficulty. And let's be a community. Let's have thoughts that we can talk about, communicate, decide on. That's a good thing. That's what people have always done, and perhaps we will have to do it again, because we are all different people with different talents. And when we look at the Bible, it's obvious that people had different talents. For instance, there's Solomon, who had wisdom. There's King David, who was a leader. There was Saul, who was very popular as king. There were loyal friends, like Jonathan. There were tricksters, like Laban. There were people who did regular jobs, like Lydia, who made the color purple. And there was the seamstress, Tabitha. Very important. And there were prophets, and there were judges, and there were wall builders like Nehemiah, and soldiers like the men of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, so where they could use their left hand as well as their right to fight, to use a sword, to draw a bow. All these things. You see, in the Bible, there are people for every job that we could imagine. And it's a matter of us to be understanding of the times we live in to see who will fulfill what job. Now, almost every one of us has some idea of what it was like to be a farmer in the past. And by the way, in the past, you had to figure that everyone was a farmer. Now, what about today? Who knows how to plant a plant, water it, see it grow, and harvest the food that it produces? In the old days, probably 90% of the people were farmers, or at least they had their own crop, their own little bit of land where they had a garden, and that garden sustained their needs at least in some way. They harvested grain and beans and greens and fruit. They also traded with their neighbors. And that is how people lived. Now, if we have this kind of it would be a catastrophe, and it could happen here. In any part of the earth, it could happen. And we need to remember that we're just people. And the earth does what the earth does. And it can really make a devastation upon us. And that's a part of what we also prepare for. It is always good to have food. Now, how much food is always a question. I think of the olden days because my parents were old. My grandparents were old. And I think of all the conversations that I have had to try to understand how things were 100 years ago or 150 years ago. See, my grandparents were born in the 1800s, between 1870 and 1890. So, yes, I had some conversation with my parents and with their parents about how things were. I get some idea about the old information, and I certainly asked my dad questions after questions about living in those days. So I get an idea about how things would be if we lost the wonderful blessings that we have of modern living. And I think that's something we can just appreciate, that we don't have to tan leather or harvest the vegetables or deal with infestations in a crop, or how to sharpen a tool or make leather. I tell you, we are so blessed today. But if we have a war come, or terrorism where our systems are disrupted, including our electrical grid, and that is something that is targeted. Maybe that's another subject for another day. But we are targeted for destruction by some of the other forces in the world. Will it happen? I don't know, but I know we never expected life to go the way it is now. We never expected gas to rise to this price, or have shortages of all the food things that are in shortage right now. All the prices that have climbed so high. We didn't think it would happen. So because it happened before, we know that it can happen again. And this is a part of what we prepare for as we question what we ought to do and what we can do. Do we improve our basic skills? Sure, do that a little bit. We may or may not need to know how to farm, how to raise grain, how to harvest our food, how to eat chickens that we grow. I mean, no, none of this sounds good to us. I don't like the idea either, but I know that I have been hungry. Yeah, for various reasons. And I know that when you're hungry, your whole concept changes. And that's something that goes on in other countries right now. And they say, go to the United States where there is much abundance of food and you can live in peace and comfort. So people are sent over, the youth from China, the prisoners from Cuba. Well, you know what? The point is there are many people coming into our countries. Oh, I think I've heard of 90 people from 90 countries coming across our southern border, all ready to have whatever they want and to not be too concerned about the Americans that are living here now. No, they just want what they want. Isn't that just so human? And they are used to having a life where every time they go to the store, there is a shortage of whatever there is. Oh, I've been to those countries. I've seen the stores that don't have much in them. And so America is the land of riches. It's the land of milk and honey to them. So we have another element to deal with as we go through life right now with the people that are around us. And that means the character and nature of America could change. Because we have a Christian history, and the people coming from other countries do not have that Christian history. And that means we must be missionaries within our own country. Yes to Americans, and yes to people who come to America. After all, if we have somebody who is our enemy, if they become a Christ follower, they're no longer our enemy, and they see things in a different way. Born again, people are our family. The people who ignore our laws and cross the borders illegally are not, because they do not respect our laws and traditions. So maybe you see it different. Well, then, may God bless you and show you the truth, because I don't mean I know the truth, but there is a truthful way in God to tell you how to deal with things. Read that Bible, get your examples, be guided by the examples, and then live them out. Yes, with love. But what is love? It's, you know what? That's a big discussion. And I'm going to let you just think about that instead of me explain it, because it has many angles to it. Talk to your pastor. It's a good idea. But about food, in these other countries, there is a lack of food typically. And the countries recognize it, and they even tell their people to get food. China last year told everybody in their country to have 1 year supply of food on hand. Store your food. Are we doing that? What do they see that we don't? It's a good question. What do you see coming? Do you see us close to the time of the end that the Bible describes? Well, that means you should recognize what is going on now and what is coming. And getting food is a real answer to some of our needs. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says that China now holds 60%+ of the world's supply of wheat and corn and rice. They might see something coming in the near future, like a war. In a war, trade seems to stop, and the whole world is holding on to their agricultural produce and not trading it, not selling it, because they realize the times are coming that could be very disrupted. China knows that too. That's why they have that, tell everybody to have 1 year of food in their country. Do they? No, I don't think so. But it's something that is going on, and a lot of people recognize what is going on in the country with our food and our water getting to be in short supply. We have crop failures in our country. In many areas, there is hard times, or hard times are coming. Sure, we understand it from a modern point of view, but we can look at the olden day farmers and see what their point of view was. The olden day farmers always wanted to have a year and a half of grain on hand, not to eat, but to plant. Plant the next crop, the next harvest. So they had 1 year of grain to plant, and they had at least half a year more in case that crop failed. Sure, if they had 2 years of seed grain on hand, that is what they wanted, but they were satisfied with less. And it's something that we might want to be aware of for our examining what our needs might be in the future in case there is a crop failure. And crop failures happen. That's just farming. I think of the ancient peoples that had crop failures. Yeah, modern day, we don't think about that, but the old ancient people did. They had crop failures from 1 year to the next, and sometime 2 years in a row. It happened in different ways. One of the ways that is so obvious it happened was with the volcanoes in the 1800s. There was 1815, Mount Tambora erupted, and there was 1883, Krakatoa erupted. And these eruptions literally killed tens of thousands of people when they erupted. But it doesn't end there, because after they erupted, plumes of ash went up into the sky, and they kept the sunlight from reaching the earth. And that made clouds of ash that stopped the sun from reaching the harvest. Therefore, hundreds of thousands of people died from famine. As the earth cooled around the world, it made for harsh living conditions. The world changed. And there was something about that with the Black Plague that came. Well, that was before Krakatoa and Tambora. But it still happened that there was a famine before the Black Plague. The famine weakened people. Whole countries of people were weakened, and then the Black Plague came, and there were years of death around the world. That can happen again. And how can we keep that from happening? By having enough food. And that's pretty hard, especially for us today. We think of food as coming from a grocery store or from a restaurant. We don't think about having a storehouse of food and supply, grinding grain and turning it into bread and eating porridge. No, but that's what has been in history. That's what people did. And that is something we can remember as we consider what our supplies ought to be. Because what if there is a giant volcano or a huge earthquake? These things have happened throughout history. Tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people have died. It can happen again. It can happen to us. We are so dependent on the system for just living from day to day. So let us consider what we can do to preserve our life. Why? To serve God. That's what I think. It's not so that we can live the life we want. The life that we want is in service to God as we consider our afterlife, our next life. And that's what I think, but everybody makes their own decision, and you have to do that for yourself too. Are you living for today only, or are you living for eternity and what you're going to do in the afterlife? Now, there's many things that talk about the destruction of America. You can even say that it's in the Bible as Mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 18. Well, we all have a different idea. Now, the Bible does suggest that we should live according to God's will, and if we don't, there is judgment. Now, that is over and over in the Bible. And what do we see today? Today we see people who disregard, and you could say disobey, what God calls us to. And we see it plainly. We see trans people giving stories in schools. We see gay pride days. Who gets a pass? Who gets to do what they want and have no effect on their life or their society? I'm not sure any of us do anyway. We might for a little while, but eventually we get consequences. And I think about Jonathan Cahn, who just talks about the destruction of a nation, of a country, when the lessons, or we'll call it the morality or the sins of our Bible are disregarded. We have lessons in our Bible, and we find that when there have been perversions in history, God gives consequences. Yeah, we can look and see what they've been in the Bible, but it's not that we quite know what they are, because God does it a little different for different people, different countries. We can only guess what's happening. Another thing that Jonathan Cahn talks about is how when we follow a little g God that is different from God of the Bible, there are serious consequences. He talks about the ancient goddess Ishtar, who would mix up gender roles, and there would be cross-dressing in ancient times. Well, we look at what's going on today, and we can see the pattern, and we can say, hey, we better look out, because we get an idea of the pattern in the Bible. That means we have a pattern of what the ungodliness in our life today, in our society, in our world today will bring to the whole world. our country, our society, even our family and our own life. These are indicators. Are they proof positive? Well, they could be proof positive, but we all have to look at what do we consider proof. Maybe you only have an indication, but we do have indicators to say what is coming. What is coming? Doesn't that just make you wonder? I think about, just thinking in that concept, I think of the government. What is our United States government doing? Well, there are agencies that see trouble coming, and they are buying guns by the hundreds and the thousands. Who was it? I don't know who it was, but you can look it up, and you can see that the IRS has been buying guns. They have an inventory. This might be an old number, but when I looked it up once, it was 4,600 guns that the IRS owns. And they have 4 million bullets in storage. 4,600 guns and 4 million bullets. What are they anticipating? Oh, I wonder. HHS has 1,300 guns, including 200 full automatic guns. I don't exactly know what to say about this. All I really know what to say that it looks like there are lots and lots of guns that our government is accumulating. And I wonder why. Our military also has lots of guns and has distributed lots of guns. You look it up and it says in one place that 300,000 guns were left in Afghanistan when our military withdrew from Afghanistan. And the government, U.S. government, has sent many guns, thousands of guns, to Ukraine. And hundreds of these guns are unaccounted for. Some of them are fully automatic. Some of them have been found in the hands of motorcycle gangs across Europe. Oslo, Berlin, Copenhagen, Paris, and Rome have all found these United States guns in the hands of a motorcycle gang in those big, large cities. What's going on? Will we have any accountability as a country? Will God bring accountability to the United States for the guns that it has distributed? Good question. While the United States has gun control and is asking for more gun control. Yes, that's what our representatives are calling for. I think they call them red flag laws. I'm not up on this. I just know that there's something to be said. But our government and our military has lost so many supplies, including Stinger missiles. They have been discovered in other parts of the world, ones that we have sent to Ukraine, rocket type of launcher systems. They have been showing up in various countries. They came from Ukraine and they came from Afghanistan. What's going on with that? I don't know. Are they going to show up in our country? Don't be surprised, because God has a way of bringing the sins of countries home. Is it a sin? Is it a miscalculation? Is it a mistake? Well, I've seen all those things in my life come back and bite me, have some effect that I did not expect. So I know if it happens on a personal level, it can happen to a country. It can happen to the world. And this is something for all of us to be aware of. When we are responsible for making and distributing military munitions and supplies and all that, whoa, boy, speaking of military munitions and supplies, our inventories are critically low for our own military to have equipment, arms, and munitions. It's estimated that it will take at least 6 years to get our munitions, our missiles, our supplies back up to a level where we can fight a war. And what's going on right now in Taiwan? We have challenges. Yeah, we are saying we're going to fight for Taiwan. And yet, our people, our administration people, are in China seeming to yield to the Chinese on principled matters that have already been discussed. What is going on in the world? It seems like we are having troubles come up that could make troubles for each one of us, for our family, our church, our state, our country. You see, the way we are dealing with others can come around and we can have the same way that people are dealing with us. It doesn't sound very pleasant. It sounds like there could be trouble upon trouble coming into our country as we see everything coming into this country from hundreds of pounds of methanol to thousands of arms and ammunitions, including artillery. Yes, all these things are being found at our southern border. You know what? It's kind of hard to say that this is what's coming in because we get reports, and the reports are not the same as fact. But when you get report after report, you look at them as being real and true. And what we can do is make assumptions that this is really going on. And the question is, what are we going to do when we find out that, sure, Stinger missiles, fully automatic rifles, handguns, bazookas, and all these things have actually been brought into our country, and there are gangs that are bringing these things into our country. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, we need a strong government? Yes, government, protect us, and we will give you the power to do everything you need to do to protect us. Sure, martial law. Sure, police can arrest anybody. Sure, eliminate habeas corpus, which we already did about 20 years ago. Well, there are things that we have to be aware of, and what we are agreeing to as people, to empower our government to protect us and make us safe. Whoa, what would our founding fathers say? I don't even know, but all I know is there are things that are indicating trouble is coming to our country. There are proposals to make sure that we stay safe, that we are protected. Ooh, I look at what's going on with our elite. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was Obama who talked about, him and what is Axelrod. Obama and Axelrod put forth a proposal that all internet things would be having a digital fingerprints so that they could tell where any information came from. And that would mean any audio and any video could be traced to whoever created it. Now that might sound good so we don't get misinformation, but that means everything we say and do can be traced right back to us. Is this a safety consideration, Or is this an infringement upon our liberty, our ability to be free American peoples, to have our amendments, the First Amendment, to be able to speak and print information? Major, major questions. We have to want. Oh, I just thought of, are we going to see Obama present his original birth certificate to make sure there is no misinformation? Well, yeah, I'm just kidding, but it just does go to show that there are real questions as to who determines what is true information, what is fake information. Who are we going to put in charge of the control of information? Well, with the proposals that are being put forth, the fact checkers are said to be our regular people who are doing it now. Google, Twitter, Facebook. Those are the proposed watchers of what is truth. And how has that gone for us so far? Well, we have a system that is going on, and it is interesting to see that even the United Nations is proposing, they call it the Global Body's Automated Fact-Checking Tool. That's what the United Nations has proposed. The Global Body's Automated Fact-Checking Tool, where they will check your information for validity. Is it going to be true? Who gets to tell us what true is? Read those books. Read 1984. Read Animal Farm. Read these things, and you determine. Do you trust your government to tell you what is allowed and what truth is? Well, please understand that you might have to struggle to maintain your freedom. Well, God bless you and your struggle to maintain God's freedom so that you can present the truth of the gospel to the people around you and the people of the world. It's not always going to be easy. Sometime we might have a struggle just like occurs in other parts of the world. Will not be easy. It will not be easy. But this is something which we want to anticipate doing and being faithful to God as we spread the truth of the gospel to the world. There is no greater truth than the truth of the gospel and salvation through Jesus Christ. That is what we want to find the most important to share with people. God bless you, and thank you for listening today. Listen to any other broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.